Please turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. My message today is a topical message. And I would like to read one verse, a very familiar verse. You probably have this memorized. But John chapter 3, and in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Each one of us have a concern for other people. For example, when you have a child, you warn them of the danger of playing in the street, or perhaps regarding the dangers of knives or fire. When they become teens, you warn them of the evil of drugs and alcohol and premarital sex. And then as parents, although your children are now adults themselves, you still can see problems approaching and you do what you can to warn them. Well, our society advertises about the damage done by alcohol, drugs, and smoking and illicit sex and things of that nature. And we take care to educate concerning gangs, and we try to prepare others for life and the future which they will face. Our food has all the needful dietary information. There are warnings attached to all prescription drugs. There are warnings on a multiplicity of products, from not placing your hands or feet in a lawnmower and not dropping your hair dryer in a sink full of water. I like it now on TV, whenever they do any commercial whatsoever, they always put on there, "Do not try at home." No matter what it is, do not try this yourself. We warn people. And so we are people, usually a people who express care and concern for others. In fact, we would find it negligent if a danger is present and we do nothing to warn the unwary potential victim. So if I should warn you about matches or guns or the crime areas, then I should also warn you about the dangers found in the spiritual aspect of life. Certainly, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. And more explicitly, to continue in rebellion against God is to incur God's wrath, both His displeasure and judgment while living, but also His wrath which is yet to come. Danger awaits all unbelievers. What I've chosen to speak on today is this matter of warning, and I'd like to warn you that are lost. The title of the message is "The Peril of the Wicked." The peril of the wicked. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be in Your house and the freedom we have in this country to do so. And we pray that You would continue to bless us as a nation, send revival to our land, and allow us to continue to have these freedoms in the years ahead. But we come today to worship You in spirit and in truth, and we ask that You bless Your word to our hearts today, that we ask especially for any who are in our midst who are lost, that they would really see who they are outside of You and away from You. And Lord, what You have done, and Lord, that provision that You have made, and we pray that You would convict and draw, grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. So we pray for the wicked that they would note their peril and respond. But those of us who have been saved, Lord, thank You so much for the salvation You've given to us, and remind us once again of that peril, that we should always be thankful. And so, Lord, You've been so gracious to us and so kind. Thank You for Your mercy. And so just guide us and teach us. Draw us unto You. May we honor You. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to think for a few moments about the peril of the wicked. Now, why the term wicked? I could have used other terms than the word wicked, but I have chosen to use this term because it is a very declarative term. This term is very descriptive. It's very emphatic. If you use that term wicked in our society, most people have already an understanding about that word. They know exactly where you're coming from. If you use the word sinner, well, people have a variety of definitions for sinners, and so I chose the word wicked, the peril of the wicked. And I want you to understand today, my friend, that if you're outside of Jesus Christ, you are an unbeliever, you are lost, then I want you to know, whether or not you like the term, this term applies to you, you are classified biblically as being wicked. That's the category. Don't be offended at it. Just let God's Word speak to your heart today as you listen to God's Word, look into His Word, and see what it has to say about those who are wicked and the peril which they face. But of course, we might have some confusion over wicked, and so I just want to give you a few opportunities from the Webster's Dictionary, how we define wicked. Webster defines it as morally bad, also that which is vicious, that which is disgustingly unpleasant, that which is vile, or someone who is disposed to mischief. And so what we understand, and I believe that I didn't need to give you Webster's, but I gave you a little bit of definition there about wicked. Now, this term is explicitly used in the Scriptures. Let me share with you a few places. Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 9, verse 7, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Psalm 50, verse 16, but unto the wicked God saith, further in verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. I entitled the message, The Peril of the Wicked. We could stop right there and go home, couldn't we? Just those four verses give you enough information about the peril of which you face, dear lost sinner friend. But of course, we're not going to let you out that easy. You didn't come here to be here for 3 minutes and go home. And so let's look at it this way. Let's consider the danger of perishing. Our text which we read to begin to bring this into focus was John chapter 3 and in verse 16. This is a very wonderful verse. There's a great promise in this verse, but there's also a statement of judgment. The verse reads, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, notice, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means that men and women, boys and girls, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, will perish. People are in danger of perishing, and you need to understand that. There is a consequence to your actions and your departure from God. But other verses talk about the matter of perishing and the danger of perishing. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5 says, and Jesus was speaking, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is a risk of perishing. Psalm 1:6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Judgment awaits, my friend. You say, but I don't understand that. Well, I would remind you of that other familiar verse. Maybe you have this one memorized. Remember Romans chapter 6, verse 23? The wages of sin is death. Because you have sinned against the Holy God. The penalty for that sin, the consequence for that sin, the payment is death. We've used the word perishing all the way through. The Scripture teaches about those who perish. Now, Romans 6:23 also has a good part, doesn't it? Just like John 3:16 did. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's really good news, isn't it? And so we know that there are people who are wicked and they are in danger of perishing. As a matter of fact, this perishing is not an if. This is not, well, it's a possibility. This is a certainty. By that I mean that if you continue in your rebellion against God, you continue away from God, if you do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's absolutely certain you will perish. And that's just a truth you need to understand. You need to wrap your arms around that. And if you'll just take time and look into the Word of God, you'll find that the warning signs are posted all throughout the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, about how men who go away from God will perish. There's a grave danger there. You say, okay, well, you convince me that I'm a wicked person and that I'm in danger of perishing if I continue in my way. Well, what does that perishing involve? And so the next point in the message is a description of the perishing. I will invite you to turn to a number of references. So go first, if you would, to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Now, I had read to you before verse 5, but we're going to look into verse 6. Psalm 11, verse 6. What is this matter of perishing? And what does the Bible say? And I'll tell you, my friend, you'd be best to heed the Bible to believe it. Psalm 11, 6. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Doesn't sound like a party to me. Go, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Oh, he'll rain fire down. Fire and brimstone. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 43. See what Jesus describes here. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. He says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Do you see a continual description through the passage that there is a judgment for those who are outside of Jesus Christ, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Listen, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24, that says, "They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Luke chapter 16, if you would. Luke chapter 16. You say, "Preacher, do you really believe that there's a heaven and a hell?" I do. Do I believe that they're literal places? I do. Do I believe that hell then is literal flame? I do. And I believe the Bible teaches that. If you perish, my friend, outside of Jesus Christ, you'll perish into hell. And I think it needs to be understood. It needs to be addressed. And so here in Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And notice what happens to the rich man after he died. It said in verse 22, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Look down at verse 28. He says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment." Well, Lazarus couldn't come and cool his tongue with a drop of water. And so he had a concern about his brothers. And he asked for that Lazarus would go and testify to his brothers, lest they should come to this place of torment. This perishing is fire where the worm dieth not. It's torment, torture. Now, Matthew chapter 22 offers this in parabolic form. Look at the parable in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And in verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you'll look in some of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 24, 51, Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, you see the same kind of expression. This one is spoken of here in the parable being cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 as a quick reference. And again, this is during one of the teaching lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, Matthew 8:11 says, And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a very fun place, hell is. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 13, another parable. The expression found over here, Matthew chapter 13. I simply want you to understand the gravity of perishing. And that is the peril of the wicked. The wicked will perish. Matthew chapter 13 this time. Pick it up in verse 40. The parable of the tares, and it says, As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Go down to verse 49. So it shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Go then, please, to Revelation in chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The scripture is clear again and again and again. Dear sinner friend today, you that are lost, you are wicked. And there is a judgment attached to that wickedness. And that is a judgment called hell. You've seen some of the description. I would remind you as you turn to Revelation chapter 20 then. And in verse 11 through verse 15 talks about the great white throne judgment. One of these days, after the end of all things, God is going to set forth a judgment. And time will be no more. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Notice, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, into Gehenna. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, it said. Remember when we noticed Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death is a separation. And my friend, you'll be separated from God and all of His blessings for all eternity as you lift up your eyes in that hell, being in torment in that fiery flame. That's what the Bible describes as the destiny for those who are perishing. But finally, let me offer unto you a few of these points, and I'm going to read these verses to you so you can rest for just a moment. This judgment that we speak of, this peril which we are warning you of, is spoken of ever as everlasting. Did you see that in the verses which we read throughout? Everlasting, everlasting, everlasting. This will last forever. You will never get out. Also, this type of punishment has degrees of punishment. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. I'll read to you verse 47 and verse 48. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And what that means is, my dear friend, is the more you know, the more enlightenment, the more knowledge, the more revelation you've received, you've been illuminated to these things, the more accountable you are, and the greater judgment you'll receive because of your understanding of which you neglected. Listen, if you will, a following verse, a reference verse, Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." Now, I don't know how to explain all that, because for me, separation from God and all of His blessings and hell, that's simply enough for my understanding. But the Bible teaches that there are degrees of judgment. There are greater damnations of which some will receive, and lesser damnations. But nonetheless, it's damnation. Recognize that this judgment is everlasting. There are degrees of punishment in this. And then the Bible also tells us, it's mentioned in the Word of God, that it's as one losing your own soul. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Sinner friend, today, you have all your reasons why you won't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think those reasons are sufficient. But I'll tell you, you've traded that for your own soul. You need to repent. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while you have opportunity, while God moves in your heart, or you'll lose your own soul. And then finally, this perishing is described as a destruction. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but rather, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I'll tell you, you need to be fearful of God. You need to reverence God, because that judgment is spoken of as a destruction of the body and soul in hell, and yet it lasts forever, and it never gives up, and you'll be tormented in that flame forever. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. I've tried to describe unto you just some of the verses that are telling us about the description of hell, or the matter of your perishing. Then I want to pass on then to the definiteness of perishing. You say, well, that's just your word. I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm basing all my teaching in the Word of God. This is not my opinion. This is what God has said. And I want you to know, dear sinner friend, that I've said to you that if you continue in your rebellion, you will certainly perish. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 speaks of the definiteness of perishing. God at one point allowed mankind to go his merry way, but verse 30 says he commands all men everywhere to repent. Notice what he says in verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now we read in Revelation chapter 20 about the final judgment. Now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because judgment is coming. And so in verse 31 he says, God has appointed a day, and he will judge this world in righteousness. And you say, oh, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I would remind you, it says it's based upon the fact that he gives us assurance in that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is alive. He is risen. He lives forever. And the fact of his resurrection and his continuance is an absolute guarantee of the definiteness of this judgment. My friend, you will perish. I submit unto you, not only is it definite because of Christ's resurrection, it is definite as reasoned from the warnings. I mean, the warning is continuous. It's just, this is going to happen. This is going to come. Then I say unto you that it's definite based upon the accuracy and the authority of the Scriptures. I've showed you verse after verse after verse. I've read to you verses, and I'll tell you what, God's Word is true, it is accurate, it is authoritative. You need to believe God's Word. This judgment is absolutely definite. But then go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It is definite simply as stated in the Scripture. I've given you many descriptions. I submit unto you, it's very clear, very definite. But the Bible makes it also very clear and definite by statement. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Sad to say, it says, and many there be which go in thereat. Many there be that go in thereat. Sinner friend, you're on the road to hell. Do not be one of these. You repent. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Does the Bible declare that that sinner will perish? Yes. The wicked will perish. Stated in Matthew 7:13, stated in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus makes this statement. I don't know how it can be any clearer. Verse 24, John chapter 8, I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You understand that, my sinner friend? You understand that, you who are wicked still? You are already under the condemnation of God. So skip to verse 36 at the end of that chapter. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's the absolute definiteness of perishing. Let me concern ourselves then with the last point, and that is the deliverance from perishing. So you hear today and you say, you know what? I don't like the term, but yes, I'm wicked and I'm outside of Jesus Christ, and I understand that what my destiny is going to be if I die in this condition, and I deserve that actually. How can you find remedy? We'll go back to our original text that we are reading from the beginning in John chapter 3 and in verse 16. Yes, it spoke about perishing, but it tells us of the rescue for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every one of us who are here today who are saved, rejoice in that. It thrills your heart to know that God has brought you from death unto life, from blindness unto sight. Aren't you glad that you were once lost, but now you're found? He says in the text in verse 16, I submit unto you this deliverance from perishing is available. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son of God. Gave his only begotten Son of God. He gave up his Son. Jesus came to earth, lived in this life, a perfect life. But he died as a sinner, though he never sinned. He was a sacrifice for sinners, a substitute for sinners. He gave his only begotten Son. I'll tell you, because of what Christ has done, salvation is available. Deliverance is available. So the very next phrase of that text tells us it's acceptable. That is, you must believe that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever, that's the good news. Whosoever, will you repent? Will you believe? Will you turn to Jesus Christ? Will you trust in him? If you do, you can be delivered from the perishing, right? Because it says in the last part of that verse how it is assured, but have everlasting life. Before, you're wicked, you're doomed, you're damned, you're without hope. But God, by his grace and mercy, sent Jesus Christ, his Son, so God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, and Christ came, made provision for us, and he works in our hearts. If he convicts and he moves and he draws, I'll tell you, my friend, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. You can be delivered. I've been delivered from perishing. Nearly everyone in this building has been delivered from perishing. And dear sinner friend, you sit there still lost, still damned, still condemned. You can be delivered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's all by grace, isn't it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can find deliverance. Let me offer you a thought in closing. I really have two objectives for this message today. First of all, toward the righteous, that we who are saved, we who've been forgiven, we who have that deliverance, that we would recognize the peril of the wicked. There are many people about us that are lost. They are still wicked. And we need to recognize their wicked condition so that we would have compassion toward those who are perishing. And then by God's grace, we would respond in warning those who are perishing. Have you been reminded today, dear Christian, of what you once were, but what God has done for you? Aren't you glad somebody warned you? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad somebody invited you? May we see those who are about us as wicked, and they need us to tell them, to warn them, to invite them. But of course, the second objective, very clearly through the message, is for the wicked, you that are lost, to understand your present condition and the future which awaits you. All that you would turn and you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts. Speak to the lost. Encourage the saved. Remind us of your grace and mercy. And we love you. We honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had chosen a different song, but I think that I would like to sing 201 if my memory serves me right. Nope, 202. 202.